I had to actually, like, full disclosure, I was talking with my therapist about it, of like, oh, I really
our mutual therapist?
Yeah. I should, it's fun to mention you because she knows who you are. But so
by the way, you've been subject to some conversations.
I'm sure that I have. She's probably already has a file on me.
Warners, welcome to another episode of The Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes business sexy again.
I'm Gina Tremarco, master trainer at Sales Gravy.
And I'm Rachel Pitts, mommy, wifey, and loan officer with US Mortgage and creator of Your Ultra Fit Lifestyle.
I just feel like I should be like master trainer at Sales Gravy and dog mom.
No,
something.
You shouldn't.
No, I'm fine.
You don't have to be something. Well, you're not being something you're not, but you don't have to. Actually, like, it's interesting that you say that, because that's one thing that we all do. So I listen to you saying, I'm Gina Tremarco, master trainer at Sales Gravy. And I'm like, oh God, I wish I was one thing, but I'm not one.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that it's gotten a challenge. Like, I don't know. I think many of us want to get to the one thing, and you get to the one thing and then you're like, is that enough? And then you start to doubt yourself on it. And not that I'm doubting myself. I'm just so used to like being, and I'm this and I'm that,
all the things,
and I'm this. And now it's like, no, it's all simple. Master Trainer Sales Gravy, which, by the way, Sales Gravy, official sponsor of this podcast. Thank you very much.
So glad for that. And I'm excited about, I am actually joining my very first live training through Sales Gravy. It is a fanatical prospecting boot camp that Gina is going to teach, and I'm super excited about it. So go on over to Sales Gravy and check out all of the offerings at Sales Gravy University, because there's just so many awesome things that I'm just going to like pick them off one by one.
Are you so excited? You're now an all access pass member.
Yes.
That is cool. But say, I know you, so let's just say a couple things about that. You have a tendency to like love to learn, and I just want to make sure you're not overlearning.
Oh, I didn't even look at anything else. I knew I was doing yours, and I was like, just walk away. Don't look at it. I did not want to fall down the rabbit hole of all the exciting things.
Yeah, there's lots to do and lots to take. I often recommend take one at a time. I see a lot of people in our courses who like are taking multiple courses at the same time. And sometimes I want to say, okay, just start applying what you're learning and be out there prospecting and filling your pipeline and not taking a million classes. But I am excited to have you in class with me by the time this podcast airs. You will have been in the class already, and 2 days will have passed. So it'll be interesting to see what you think of the class and having me back like as your coach for a minute.
Like full circle.
I know, right? It's going to be cool. I'm excited to have you there.
Super happy. But you are right about me that I always have too many things going on. And right now is no different than any other time. But I definitely was like, sign up for that class and then walk away from mm-hmm.
I think that'll be super good for you. You know, today you and I were talking about like, what are we talking about today? So there's no guest today. It's you and me. And we've gone back and forth on some ideas. And I think we've come up with like a good conglomeration of thoughts.
Is that a word?
I don't know. I think I don't know. Is it conglomeration?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Actually, a word.
I don't know if it's a word, but it sounds like a word. I'm gonna
look it up.
I'm gonna go with conglomeration. Hopefully, it's not anything dirty or bad. But something that's come that's been showing up a lot for me has been. I'm actually doing a lot of coaching right now at Sales Gravy. Is it a word?
It is a number of different things, parts or items that have grouped together or a collection. So good job.
That's
50-cent word for the day, y'all.
50-cent word of the day, conglomeration. So I've been doing a lot of one-on-one executive coaching through Sales Gravy. We've had a lot of coaching clients sign on. And, you know, and you've had me as a coach. And we know that you and I were interviewed by Jeb on his podcast about coaching. And it's been interesting to me getting back into it because I haven't coached in a couple years. And now I'm like back full force on the horse doing it. And one of the things that I ask my clients, especially women, is what have you stopped dreaming about? What are the things that you've stopped dreaming about or stopped wanting personally in your life because your attitude has been like, well, you know what? It's just, I can't afford it. It's just way out of reach to do those things, or it's just too big of an idea. But at one point it was like a thing for you, but you let life set in and reality set in. And so, you know, you've just settled on, I'm not going to have those things. And it's interesting every time I ask that question, because it makes people pause and go, oh, I haven't really thought about that in a long time. Or, you know what? I'm always thinking about what things I dream of for my children or my husband or my family. And that's what's coming up. And so when I put them in that position of like, you know, what do you want? And they like literally have to stop and pause and go, oh, I got to really think about that. And here's the thing, whether you are in sales or you own a business or, you know, you work for someone, are you doing everything you can to have what you want, right? So are you putting in the work to get everything you want? So that was kind of the idea floating by me. And then I know you and I the other day had a conversation about if tomorrow was your last day on earth. I'll let you fill in the blank on that, Rachel.
Well, let's let that hang for just a second, because I want to go back to what you just said. It's interesting to me that people don't know what they want, because I have always 100% known certain particular things that I want. And I am of the mindset that it doesn't really matter how long it takes. Like, I'm going to achieve that goal. So like I've had a dream car and I carry a picture of it on my phone. And this is like a toy dream car. Like, I want a late 60s convertible Mustang. I want it to be yellow. I want a white interior. And I want it to have an updated sound system. That's important to me, because I have always, like, for years, visualized me and Roxy like riding around in it with big giant sunglasses and like 50s style scarves on our heads and riding around like Thelma and Louise. And I am going to have that car one day when I reach a certain level of like being able to buy a toy, you know, because that's what it is. It's not like a practical car. It's like a toy. Felix was looking at Lamborghinis this weekend, because for some reason we were in Miami for my birthday and everybody has a Lamborghini. Like, what is that? Like, they're everywhere. Like, you don't see that. And he's like, I might get one one day. And I'm like, no, you don't need that. He's like, but I like it. I'm like, I don't like it. So you get that, I'll get my Mustang. But anyway, I digress. But I have that. And I have, like, right now I'm in negotiations to acquire a business that I've wanted to acquire for 10 years. 10 years I've had this vision of wanting to acquire this business. And the acquisition of this business is one thing, but what I want to do with it is another few more years, because it won't happen right away. And that's okay, because I feel like if you have something you really want, you should never let go of it unless you really just like go, I don't really want that anymore. But like, if you really want it, just give yourself enough time and effort to get there. Like, it's money shows up if you work for it, like Gina just said, but like, you don't have to give up your big dream just because it's going to take you a while to get there. What the hell else do you have to do? Like, really, just work and grind and be miserable? Like, why not work and grind towards what you want? So there's my opinion on that, because I feel bad about people that feel like anything is not attainable. Like, is attainable.
I posted something the other day, and I don't want to forget to come back to this. I want to come back to the car, your dream car. And then I want to come back to attaining things. But I posted something the other day on Facebook, kind of along the lines of, if you're not in a growth mindset and you're in the mindset of these are the cards I was dealt, then you're never going to excel or get what you want. And we heard this, actually, someone who was on our podcast a long, long time ago. I'm horrible to not remember her name. Dr. someone. Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry.
Tell me what you're trying to talk about. And maybe
she talks about growth versus a fixed mindset.
Oh, Dwyer?
No. Well, based on Dwyer. It wasn't Dwyer that we actually spoke to, but she was someone who studies Dwyer.
Another podcast guest.
It'll come back to me. But it's like that attitude of these are the cards dealt to me. Right. Is just a fixed mindset. And when you stay there, you go nowhere. You just stay in the status quo. And so if you're in business or you're in sales or you just want to live a good life, you have to be in a growth mindset of getting there. And to do that, you need to actually set goals to do that. So when I'm talking to these different people that I'm coaching now, of like, and even businesses, when we're doing goal setting and training, you need to know where you're going. And you need to, it's not just about, I need to go there, but it's about I want to go there. So you have to actually set goals for yourself to get there. And then how are you going to get there? And how much time is it going to take? And how much money is it going to take? To your point, Rachel, we can have the things that we want. And we actually have to set goals for them. We can't just be like, I want this. It'll happen.
Right.
Maybe.
Well, and there's really great, you know, a lot of the goal setting type of coaches out there will tell you to like set your big, huge, giant, hairy, audacious, what do you call it? Big, fat, hairy, audacious,
hairy something, yeah.
BHAG.
Yeah.
Big, hairy, audacious goal. There it is. That was hard. And then reverse engineer it and really right. figure out, okay, so if I'm going to make, you know, if I'm going to do 20 million in volume next year, then how many loans is that to close? And then how many loans do I close on average? And then how many phone calls does it take to get that many close? And then, so how many phone calls per day do I need to do? So you can reverse engineer it. And also to your point, Gina, about the fixed and growth mindset, you've got to make sure that you are looking at things in from a mindset of abundance, because I have a lot of, and for some reason, this seems to be a performer mindset, and it used to be mine, of like, oh, I can't afford that. Oh my God, I'm always so broke. Mm-hmm. I'm so broke. Well, if you continuously talk about how broke you are, then you're just going to stay broke. So like, even when I was broke, because I've been there and I have been in some, Gina knows when she was coaching me, like I had to go to some extremes to pay my bills. I've been there. And throughout all of that, I would purposefully work on developing an abundance mindset, because then you draw that to you and you can like go deep into the whole law of attraction thing with it. But you do attract what you talk about, what you repeatedly, you know, invest in terms of your thought process and what comes out of your mouth and the people that you hang around and all those things. So you can, you know, I used to be in a place of not abundance, let's call it, but I knew that abundance was coming, and now I'm in a place of abundance and I'm super grateful for that. And now set the goal higher, you know?
Well, it's interesting. You and I are in the same, we're in the same school of thought and the same mindset, but there are some people out there that would say, oh, that stuff's so woo-woo, the love attraction and blah, 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 blah. If you don't see it that way, that's cool. I mean, we see it that way. It's been my experience that if you put out good vibes come back. If you stay in a positive mindset, things come to you. If you can't be that way, then you're not getting good things. And I'm just putting that out there because I think some people are going to be like, what are these girls talking about?
I would venture to say that if somebody is going to poo-poo on the law of attraction, I would venture to say that they've never actually tried it out. Mm-mm. And I would recommend go grab the book called The Secret and try it out first.
Yeah.
Because I would say that the law of attraction doesn't work for somebody who doesn't know how to work the law of attraction.
Hello.
And that's only because you haven't given it a try. And it, maybe it sounds scary because it's a little bit out there, but I'm here to tell you that it does work for me, at least.
It's along the lines of, I think Jim Rohn says this, I can't remember for sure, is you're the sum of the five people around you, right? So it's the same thing. So if you surround yourself with losers,
mm-hmm.
there's a good chance you're not going to be successful. So to the opposite, if you surround yourself with winners, then you're probably going to be successful. Or if you surround yourself with rich people, because you want to be you need to think about where do you want to be and who's going to help you get there or influence it. You want to be in that environment around those people in that mindset.
Here's a tip on that. This might be the biggest thing to take away from this. If you hang around with losers, losers don't want to help you with anything. They do not want to help you, and they won't help you because they'll have 100 excuses of why they can't help you, and they don't have time, and they don't have money, and they can't help you. Winners will help you. Winners will help you, and they are super excited to share with you information. Mm-hmm. Like the biggest winners I've ever encountered, they're happy to share all their secrets, basically.
Yeah,
because like no matter how many secrets of their success they share, they know that you're gonna have to go out and do it yourself. Like example from the podcast that we just did with Jeb, and you can listen to it on his Sales Gravy podcast. Like if you've got a coach and your coach, say you're Michael Phelps's coach, like the coach is going to tell you exactly what to do. And maybe it's a coach that's won multiple gold medals, but the coach ain't going to dive in the pool and swim the laps for you. Like they can give you all the secrets, all the sales secrets. You can find books and listen to podcasts and webinars and get a coach and all the things. But no matter how much money you pay for a coach and a book and all the other things, you've got to do the work yourself. It ain't just going to fly out of like the law of attraction doesn't just like shower like money on your head. you got to do the work to earn it, because there's statistics on people that win the lottery, because there's the losers out there think they're going to win the lottery and suddenly their life's going to be good. But the statistics show that most lottery winners are bankrupt within a couple of years because they don't know how to manage the extreme wealth that they run into. And it's a disaster.
Well, they didn't earn it.
They didn't earn it. And so like, there's no, oh my God, I worked hard for this, you know, thing, and value to, there's no value to the windfall of wealth that they get. So they just blow it everywhere.
You know, one thing that Jeb talks about in fanatical prospecting is, you know, sometimes when you're prospecting, it feels like you have moments where you feel like you're lucky, right? You have these long stretches of suck in prospecting, where, you know, you are doing all the things and you are pounding the streets and you are banging the phone and all the things, and nothing's coming through, right? Because 80% of what you're doing now, right, it shows up later. And so it feels like you're doing all of this 80% of work up front. You have to do that in order to get somewhere, and then you start getting somewhere and the momentum starts to build, and then you're like, damn, I am feeling some luck here. Like it's just all coming together and falling in my lap like it's the lottery. And you have to like check yourself and be like, no, this is a result of a lot of hard work over the years. It just in the moment feels lucky. Because it finally starts to happen. It's like planting seeds, and now all of a sudden it starts growing. And then you have people around you who all of a sudden, we talked about this for a little bit on Jeb's podcast, about the haters, which by the way, because I remember I'm the one who brought that up on that podcast. I think I brought it up about having haters. And that has resonated with a lot of women who listened to that episode. Like how I didn't realize how powerful that was. That's a reality too. You get successful, and then there are people who think like you became successful overnight, or why does she get to have that? Right. And again, those are fixed mindset people that you don't want to be around because A, they don't want to do the work. B, they don't have the mindset to actually do the work. And so we appear lucky, but man, that luck took a long time.
A lot of tears and sweat and sleepless nights. Mm-hmm. So circling back to, do you want to circle back to the car?
I want to go back to the dream car only because I don't know if you remember this, but I remember you talking about this dream car when I was coaching you.
I've not changed on that thing. I mean, I need to get a different, I'm actually looking at getting another car right now, but like a practical car that the kids and the dog can go in. But like the dream car is actually like, it's a symbol for me. It's a symbol of when I get to a point of success, in my opinion of success, that I can afford to have like the practical car that the kids and the dog can ride in. And then I can also have the toy, because you can't just have the toy. Like, it's not practical in my view to have the toy before you have the practical.
Well, I mean,
sorry, the rest of you guys have to stay home. Roxy and I will be in our Thelma and Louise glasses. And
you need the practical, but the point is going back to, don't give up on the dream part of it. There's no reason why you can't have the dream car and the practical car at the same time.
That's right.
If you do the work to get it. But that's, I do, right, remember years ago you talked, I'm like, as you described the car, I'm like, I've heard about this car before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it came up in one of our coaching exercises.
Same car. And same actually car. My branch manager knows about this car, and he's a big car guy. And that car shows up every once in a while, like on Facebook forums, and just, I'll be like, oh, it's just not time yet for me to spend that kind of money on that toy. It's just not time yet.
And I'm curious, why isn't it time?
It's not time because I have other things that right now I would allocate those funds to that are, okay,
I'm gonna challenge you for a second.
Okay.
Cause it's the coach in me. why can't you generate the funds for everything you want right now?
True.
I mean,
true. If I was, that's why, one reason I'm taking the Fanatical Prospecting boot camp. Although I did spend time prospecting today and doing exactly what Gina just described, which is like nothing, 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 nothing. But I did, when I first started my mortgage career, I did nothing, nothing. I did the nothing, nothing, nothing yield calls for a lot, like for months. And then I did generate, and it took me, let's see, I started in July of 1 year, and by the following July, I had so much business, I was like having panic attacks. So it can happen.
Well, a couple things with that, because when I decided to move over to Sales Gravy and leave Pivot 10, I went into it, and I think I told you this, I'm like, it'll take me a year to get my pipeline where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. Right. And that can be frustrating. So anybody going into a new job, especially in sales, I mean, I know that, but I'm starting to see, you know, my work come through and the prospecting that I'm just starting to get to do, because I've been full blown in getting, you know, up to speed on training there. But here's the thing, like what you do in 30 days in a 30 day period, will result in 90 days. So if you're doing nothing today, you will feel that in 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go, let's say, a month of doing nothing, you will feel that in 90 days that you will be in a slump for a 30-day period.
Yeah, there's a great chapter in Fanatical Prospecting that talks about that. And it's like, ouch, because it's true. I've been there where you don't consistently stick with it. And then you're like, eh. Yep. And it's interesting because there's another person that I've followed, Darren Hardy, since like 2012. I just adore him. And he sends out a daily morning thing that I listen to always after the gym. And it was, I think, on Monday that he put out the challenge of like, similar to what we're talking about, which was, what's your goal? Like, what's your goal for this year? Now triple that and then divide the time frame by a third. And why can't you achieve that? Because you can, actually, if you basically stop doing a bunch of the crap that's mundane and that you could delegate, mm-hmm, and start only doing the things that directly lead to income.
And I want you to remember the three following words: impactful, important, and trivial. Those will sound familiar.
Yeah.
When you're in my boot camp. I mean, mean, it's along the same lines. It's along the same lines, right? You need to be doing things that are going to impact your dreams.
Yep. Right.
So the things that are going to impact your dreams and your success, you know, you need money for that often. So where are you spending your time to get there? And the important things are going to support that. And the trivial things are things that, you know, I've changed my calendar like 3 times today because I'm a calendar insane calendar queen. And even Jeb called me about doing something today. And I like told him, no, it's not happening today. There's no more time on the calendar for the things, right? But I have to schedule these things to make sure that they happen, impactful, important, and trivial.
Mm-hmm.
But the trivial things get scheduled last. But we have a tendency to schedule them first because they're easy.
They're easy. Uh-huh.
Totally. And then psychologically, you feel like you got something accomplished, which is awesome. That's great.
No, it's not.
No, but you psychologically, you feel like you did something, and the really big impactful things take a lot more time and are a lot more work. And sometimes you don't accomplish that one big thing in a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to actually, like, full disclosure, I was talking with my therapist about it, of like, oh, I really
our mutual therapist?
Yeah, I should. It's fun to mention you because she knows who you are. But so,
by the way, you've been subject of some conversation.
I'm sure that I have. She's probably already has a file on me before having a file on me.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
So it's all right. So I was saying to her, like, oh, I'm like so stressed out because I should be doing this and this and should be doing this. And she's like, well, what have you done that's good? And then after like talking it through, I was like, okay, so I felt like I should be doing bigger prospecting blocks and calling all these, you know, prospects. But actually looking back on my day, I did have several more impactful conversations mm-hmm. with valued prospects. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and did like more valuable work that I needed to acknowledge. So mm-hmm. it's important to take a look at what your days look at. And I'm, you know, you, Gene and I are like really into time blocking and calendars, and look at what you actually are doing with your time. And that's where you'll find time. And you'll also find where you're doing trivial stuff mm-hmm. and wasting time. And we had another podcast guest who I can't remember the name that talked about procrastination, and procrastination is actually just really a stress release. It's not really, there's not something wrong with you. It's just that it's like stress. And so instead of dealing with the stress, you're like, I'm just going to avoid it mm-hmm. and procrastinate. Mm-hmm. We all do it.
Yeah. I mean, as humans, we all procrastinate. Part of our procrastination problem is this. I don't mean to keep making this about Jeb and his books, but like all of this stuff seems very relevant. We often procrastinate because we have a need for perfection. And when we are in a mode of perfection, of trying to okay, you guys, I'm sorry. I'm laughing because you don't see what I'm seeing. I'm continuing to talk.
There was a spider.
I knew it had to be a spider because the look on your face. Okay. Again, this is like knowing your partner. So Rachel, we're both on Zoom, right? So we can see each other. And Rachel, all of a sudden her face starts getting contorted. And then I see her mute herself and she pulls out a yellow pad of paper and she's starting to swat something over her head. And I can't even see it, but we have the video for it. Maybe Nian will do something with this, our producer.
The problem has been eliminated.
I'm like, there's gotta be a spider because Rachel's got spider issues. So anyway,
sorry.
That was funny as shit.
Hey, Warners, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you haven't already hopped over to iTunes to give us a review, please do so. Yes, I'm actually begging, because you know what? If you give us a review, it takes like 30 seconds. It really helps more people find what we have to say. And if you're listening to this right now, you think what we have to say is valuable. So let's spread the love. Give us a review. Please, pretty please. Now back to the show.
The procrastination thing is often comes from our need to be perfect. So it comes from this perfectionism thing. So we procrastinate because we want it to be perfect. So we're not going to do it. And so it sits there. And the perfectionism problem comes from a fear of, like, there's a fear around that of, like, fear of not being perfect. And then that paralyzes us. And then we go into a paralysis. You see how this all comes together in one big, ugly fucking mess.
Yeah. Right. And then usually in my case, there's like a jar of peanut butter involved during the paralysis. Not paralysis anymore, but the movement in the wrong direction.
Oh my God. The bottom line is that you have to get out of a scarcity mindset that you don't have enough money or time to do things. And if you're in sales, you also have to help your clients through that too, right? Because they get into that mindset of scarcity and afraid to make decisions. And, you know, they want what you have, but they're afraid to do it. And you got to help get people through that psychological thing of being afraid to make the decision or being afraid to put in the time and the money to get there. But if you know that it's going to deliver something bigger down the road, then you got to do it, even if you have doubts. Because if you have doubts, then you're really doubting yourself and your own ability. And do you really believe you can't do it?
Boom. So let's go back to what we left hanging, which is when you said, what if, and the what if is, what if you were told that you had limited time left? Let's say 3 days, three weeks, 3 months. So you got a limited time left. Then how would you approach your life differently? So first of all, would you be doing what you're doing right now? Like, would you be working in the job that you're working right now? Would you continue to do that if you had, let's say, 3 months? If you had 3 days left, I'm pretty sure you'd be like, yeah, I'm not working. I'm out. Like, yeah, I'm out. Go. Love you guys, but I'm done. But let's say 3 months, 3 to 6 months. So would you be doing the same thing? And furthermore, how would you approach that thing? And like, what would you do with your time? And would you allow things to bother you that are currently bothering you? Like, I actually, like, I because of this discussion that Gina and I had, I've been approaching things that way of like receiving certain things and it's not perfect. And normally I would be like, this isn't the way that I want it. And like, and doesn't matter. It's okay. You know what? Just be direct about, this isn't how I wanted it to be. Can you change this and this? Thank you so much. And assume good intent, you know, from people. They're not just a moron. They're just, you know, it's just, you have to be direct about what you want in all things. And things that, like, example, my ex stressing me out, because good night, Lord Almighty, he will do it. Anybody got an ex out there that'll stress you out? Yeah, I thought so.
Hey.
So like, if you had, if you only had 3 more months to live, would you just not let it bother you? Would you completely forgive that person? Would you completely accept that person? Like, would you allow that to mess up your day? Did you see how I like said mess up your day instead of fuck up your day? Like, trying to improve the language.
I know, because some people are praying for us at Sales Gravy to clean up our mouths. I don't think it'll ever happen officially, because we are the women.
Not on Women Your Mother Warned You.
No, we're the women your mother warned you about. And sometimes we're going to say fuck.
We were good on Jeb's podcast, though. I was on purpose.
We were very well behaved.
But, you know, in thinking about that process of like, okay, so what if, you know, suddenly I'm delivered this news that I only have 3 months to live, and like, what would I do? And, you know, I think there's different approaches to it. Like, my mind's like, oh man, First thing I do is find a hot air balloon and go ride on a hot air balloon. I'd book that and definitely go back to Disney World with Roxy. And like, I started thinking about all the things I would want to do, right? Mm-hmm. I am not the type of person that's like, oh God, it's terrible. Like, cause you know, none of us, just side note, none of us is getting out of here alive.
Yeah.
You know,
yes, we're all going to die.
That's right. You could, and it may not be a 3 months live thing. It might be a tractor trailer out of the blue that just like Tiger Woods is right off the road. God, I hope he's okay. By the way, I saw something about that yesterday. Tiger Woods got in a wreck.
Yeah, I heard there's a something Tiger Woods going on, and I heard about it yesterday, but I still didn't know what it was.
Somebody made a joke that he's not quite out of the woods yet. So bless. Terrible. Anyways, but you know, what would you do differently? And like, let's just say you are in a position where you're like, okay, I've got 3 months to live and I don't have enough money to take the trip to where it is that you want to. And so, but you do have time. So like, why couldn't you make the calls you need to make the sales in the next 2 weeks to suddenly have the money for it, you know? Or what could you sell? Like, you've got shit to sell. I guarantee you got shit to sell. Like, You ain't gonna be here in much longer, so you might as well sell it. Who cares? Like, there's ways. So, you know, it's just an interesting approach that we forget about when we get so caught up in like the day to day of like, oh God, I can't believe that just happened, and that just, oh, it's just so hard, and I'm just so stressed out, and oh, this stupid person, and da 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 da, and this person cut me off in traffic, and they didn't get my Starbucks order right, and all the things that like. They feel like they matter and we can spin ourselves out of control very quickly. Like I remember getting my Starbucks or like they got my Starbucks order wrong. And I like called the place. You know me, I tried to be nice, but you know, they gave me a free drink. It's important to me.
But you know what? Those scenarios, and we've all done it, and we've seen people who do it. Those scenarios where we're like sweating that kind of stuff is because we have these other unresolved issues that we're not dealing with. And so we're channeling through that. We're channeling these bigger issues through that and making a big deal out of a small thing instead of staying focused, again, since I'm woo-woo, in your purpose. Like, what is your purpose? What is it that you want? What's the legacy you want to leave behind? What do you want out of life that you're, you know, we're not here to just work every day for the fun of it, right? Like, we're definitely working to pay our bills, but why aren't we working for something bigger with more meaning? Because we won't be here forever. And if you don't want more meaning, that's fine too. You might just be like, hey, I just want to like do my job, go home and be on the couch. And that might be your big dream. Good for you. As long as you have that dream of what it is you want to do and you go for it and you work at it, you still have to have some kind of goal of what you want to do.
Yeah. Or just have, you know, I always, ever since Roxy was born, we've done a lot of trips to Disney, and that's been something that she can understand as well, as like, mommy works really hard because I want to be able to provide amazing experiences for my kids. And we're like, I'm not really a stuff person. I mean, I got nice stuff, so I'm super, super grateful for that. But I'm not really a stuff person as much as I am an experience person. I always want to have something on the horizon that I know is coming so that we have something to look forward to. Because that, I believe in my journey, that having something to look forward to is the way to maintain happiness. Because happiness comes and goes. You're like, yes, they got my Starbucks order right. And then damn it, I just lost that big account. And then, man, somebody hit my car. And then, oh, you know, oh my gosh, now I got this big account showed up. And like, happiness is just up and down. But if you have something to look forward to, or even more so, like Gina said, you have a purpose you're working towards, and you know it's going to take you a while to get, you know, to your true zenith of your purpose, if you will, you know, that keeps you going. When it gets hard.
I saw a lot of this happening during early on in the pandemic. And I've had a couple of friends who went through this, and one specifically who said to me, I feel like there is nothing to look forward to right now. because we were all in like, we were in lockdown, right? We couldn't go anywhere. Restaurants were closed. Don't be around people. And our lives changed where, especially those of us who live alone, our lives changed and we're sitting here at home alone. Many of us working from home. Sometimes we never leave the house for days. We weren't seeing people. Something I haven't talked about, I don't even think I told you because I kept it on the down low, is I too had COVID.
What? You didn't tell me.
Nope. I think maybe one or
two. Did you breathe on me since then?
Oh my God, I've been breathing on you all the time. I had this, I had it months ago. No. I had it months ago. Months. It was last year.
So did you know that you had it?
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, the few people that knew, the way people treated me was really weird. And I wasn't around anybody and I was able to quarantine quietly where I wasn't around anybody. It was the first time I'm talking about it because it was traumatized. It was traumatizing. And I stayed away from people for 2 to 3 weeks. And I think I had it. I had it for at least a week before I knew I had it. Because of the way the symptoms work, you don't know.
Right.
Right. And so once I got a fever, I went and checked it out and I was like, okay. And then the couple people I started to tell all started getting freaky.
It's freaky deaky.
Well, they're like, oh my God, when's the last time? Right. The reaction. What was the last time I was around you?
Yeah. How selfish of us.
And I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But when you're the one who has it, that's not what you want to hear. I get it. You're scared. I'm the one dealing with
it. I'm scared. Right.
Right. And so people are like, if you need something,
I'm not coming over.
I was like, yeah, I live alone. I could use some. And at one point I needed Tylenol and like people said they would. Nobody came.
I would have come.
Actually, I take it back. My attorney came. My attorney and another friend did come because they were actually worried about me because I was highly depressed. Because I went into like a dark place because I was home alone dealing with it and people being weird. And at one point I like literally needed Tylenol for my fever. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to go out and get it myself. Yeah.
Did you go get it?
Yes. With a mask on. Carefully.
Crazy.
But the thing is like,
what did you do?
This is how messed up it is. Like at that point, I was probably not even contagious.
Right. Well, and the thing is there's people walking around that have it that don't know it.
Don't know
so
it.
What's the difference? You know?
Yeah. So the point of this is that, I knew there was a point to it. It's you're sitting there alone in a crisis and you feel like there's nothing to look forward to and that you've been mandated to, you're not allowed to go out. You're not allowed to be around people. You know, for me and that's, and I've had a lot of friends now since who have had it and also are not talking about it because of the way they're being treated. And I'm not trying to get it now. It's turning into a COVID episode, but
interesting though, interesting perspective. Cause
yeah, I mean, and the people who have gotten it, like I know a lot of people who have gotten it in the last month, like it's really spiked where I had it like forever ago. And when I had it, not a lot of people I knew had it. So now that I see a lot of people getting it and I'm like, hey, just keep it on the down low. Just don't talk about it. Someone else said to me, you had it. I didn't see it anywhere on Facebook. I'm like, correct. You didn't. There was a reason for that I didn't talk about it.
When was it? What month-ish?
Oh my God. I don't know. October, September. I mean, it was like months ago.
You know, I keep saying I got sick in like at the end of March last year and I actually got tested, but I tested negative. But looking back on it, like I haven't had the test for the antibodies and I wonder if I had it because it was such a unique, feeling scenario at that time. So I kind of wonder, and like even Felix's parents, we went to a wedding like the October before in 2018, October, and they were sick for months. His parents were sick with this weird like thing for months. And like, we wonder if that was COVID, and thank God it didn't harm them because they're older. But it's interesting. You make a really interesting point. That was not what we started this podcast episode about, but like there is, it's a weird stigma. And honestly, I've done it. Like there was an individual that I knew that I found out that they had COVID, and I was kind of like, well, when do they get better? Like, should they be here right now? Like, it's weird.
That was actually your instant reaction when I said it.
Yeah. You're
like, did you breathe on me?
I know. It's so weird.
And the reason why we got into this topic is because with or without having COVID, being on a lockdown. But the point of my story was like the lockdown was that much worse having it. Mm. Because I couldn't leave the house.
Right.
And here I'm sitting here alone. It was already bad enough that there are a lot of things we cannot do. We can't make plans. I can't make vacation plans. This is without having the virus. There are all these things we can't do. All these dreams that we've put off because we're like, well, COVID, we don't know if we're going to be able to go on a vacation. Well, COVID, we don't know if we're going to have the money. Well, COVID, we see this in sales objections too. Everything's about freaking COVID and how COVID is the, you know, the attacker of all dreams possible. And somehow we're going to have to overcome that. Somehow we're going to have to turn around that mindset that COVID is fucking everything up. And granted, it is. And
it's not. It is and it's not.
Right. And we can do things to get around it and still have an awesome life and not let that one obstacle be the deterrent to having the bigger dreams.
Let me tell you something about the travel thing. You know, they will make you distance all everywhere you go. But you get on that airplane, because I've been on several airplanes in the last year and I've traveled some. You're right there in smushed in an airplane with people. Yeah. And actually, side note, when we came on the way back from Miami, Spirit Airlines kicked a girl off of the flight who wouldn't keep her mask above her nose. It was interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. Like we pulled away from the gate and then we were sitting there and then we pulled back up to the gate. Some people came on the plane and went and got her and escorted her off. She didn't take any belongings, nothing. They took her off the plane. And I was like, bravo, dudes. And the captain came on and he was like, guys, I hate to do that. I'm sorry about that. I don't like the masks either, but you guys got to wear the mask over your nose and mouth unless you're actively eating or drinking. They yeah. kicked her motherfucking ass off.
Well, the whole thing is a weird phenomenon. I know this kind of episode took a turn.
Pivot.
Yeah, that could be a whole episode in itself, because the way people were behaving towards me, even today, when I go, I'm really not worried about it. I've had it. And they look at me and they're like, what? When? I'm like, chill out.
Calm down.
And there are people who still behave like, because you had it, you must still be contagious. No, seriously.
Yeah.
This is the behavior. And it is so isolating and alienating. And I literally felt like I had leprosy.
Well, let's bring it full circle to what we started with, which is that is one way that people can stifle progress in their dreams and everything, is that you, like, when you have a mindset of lack and you have a mindset of like, I can't, or, oh, I'll never have those things in life. It's the same way that you're like stifling, you're coming up with a reason to mm-hmm. go, oh, that's the reason that I better not come near Gina because she had COVID, or I'll never have that. So I better not even try. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's all a choice. There's statistics proven that people that, and I don't know what the statistics are because they're all made up, right? But like, if,
mix them
if
up
someone,
now.
If, you know, like 78% of people, no, but seriously, I have read about people with diagnosis of, say, breast cancer, what have you. If you have a mindset of, oh yeah. my God, this is so awful, mm-hmm. you're probably going to kick the bucket.
100%.
If you have a mindset of like, all right, let's put on the gloves and kick this motherfucker's ass, then you have a really, really great chance of survival. And there's been like miracles happen with people of like just...
100%. 100%. It's where you put your mind and energy into it. When I had it, you know, I was devastated. Like, I was in shock because I went in and tested. I'm like, there's no way I have it. Even as I sat there, because I was trying to do law of attraction, I'm like, I don't have it. 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 Well, I waited for the test results. And then they came back. They're like, you have it. I'm like, shit. I was like, okay. All right. And you could go to a place, and I was having this conversation with you yesterday, and I didn't tell you where it was motivated from, because I went to a place hearing I had it, where I quickly went down the road of, oh my God, what's going to happen? Am I going to die? Is this going to lead into something bigger? Do I have the immunity to get through this? What's going to happen? Everybody's talking about the world's going to end. Oh my God, I have it. I'm going to die. What? Right. Like, you can go there like that.
You can go there. It's no matter how,
like that.
No matter how brave you are, you can go there.
You can go there.
I think you're not human if you don't have a moment at least of going there.
Right.
But the difference is how did you approach it after that?
Right. And again, if you don't have support around you for that too, right? That can fuck up your head. And I made a choice. I'm like, I'm fine. Cause I still don't believe I have it. Number one, cause everyone's different, right? My symptoms were my symptoms were, I thought I had an allergy.
Wow.
It was, I had allergy issues. That's what my symptoms were. The only reason why I went to get tested was because I woke up one day with a low grade fever. It's the only reason why I got tested. But all I had were sinus issues and a headache. Okay. So, and I'm prone to sinus. I'm prone to allergies and sinuses all year. It was just like severe sinuses. Mm. So, you know, I could have gone down that road and bought into all the fear of everybody out there with it. Another reason why I didn't talk about it in social media. I was not even going to put myself in that arena with people being assholes about it. Mm-hmm. And so instead, I went to a positive mindset of like, I got this. I'm going to stay home. I'm going to rest. I'm going to drink fluids and I will get my work done. And I'm not going to tell anybody about what's going on. And I will push through. And I already knew that because of my anemia and other issues, I think I'm fortunate. I was shocked I got it because, first of all, I'm type O blood, which we're supposed to be immune from it. But I have been, since becoming anemic in 2016, I am like fanatical on vitamin C, vitamin D3, zinc, all the things. I mean, I take them daily and I take high doses of D3. So I think that was probably a saving grace for me that I didn't have it that bad. Because I've been supplemented for so long and I've stayed really strict about that with myself, but I stayed in the mindset of, I got this. And I literally was like, listen here, virus, we got 2 weeks. I got shit to do. You got 2 weeks to go pack in. And that was literally my attitude.
Yeah.
I'm like, motherfucker, you're out. Right. And so again, it's the mindset thing, to just be positive, to get what you want. And when you stay in that mindset and then you put the work in it, I was pretty damn tired through it. I'll tell you, the fatigue was horrible. That was the other thing. That was the only other thing I had was major fatigue. I could fall asleep at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So I just listened to my body and I kept pushing through to get where I needed to get. That is the theme of this episode today. You can have what you want if you're willing to work at it, but you got to set goals to do it. And you have to ask yourself, what goals have I stopped setting for myself? Because I don't think it's attainable because I've convinced myself of that. Mm-hmm. Boom. That's what I got for you today.
Do you see me keep looking over at this spider to make sure it's dead?
Spiders come back to life.
That, I mean, if their guts are smushed all over, I would hope not, but you know, miracles happen.
you don't know. So this episode definitely went slightly rogue, but.
So But the word is out. Gina had COVID. I may have. I don't know. She's okay now, though. It's been like forever. So you can let her breathe on you. But like she'll wear a mask.
It's been like 4 or 5 months. I mean, it was a while ago.
Crazy. It's so interesting. I think definitely you guys don't give up on your dreams. In fact, go back to some of the old ones that you let go and revisit them and see if it still resonates with you. Cause sometimes, I mean, I'm the queen of like, I'm going to do this. And then I'm like, nah, you know what? I'm not going to do that. But the car that yellow Mustang has been around for a pretty long time. And, you know, go to those things that you've always wanted and then
revisit them, revisit them on a regular basis, right? You bring up the car, you know, my top dream is to have a home in Italy. I always come back to that.
Totally doable.
That dream has never gone away. Right.
Yeah. We'd love to hear. So post in the comments or in a review on this podcast, we'd love to hear, like, tell us what is that dream that has never gone away for you and maybe hopefully we rekindled it for you. So, or send us an email, women@womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com or on social media anywhere. Like, I would love to hear those because I think then when you breathe new life back into them, then it so much more likely for them.
I've got an idea. Oh, I've got another idea. You can do all those things. Like you can email us. I'm hoping that Jeb, our new, I don't want to call him sugar daddy. I think that'd be wrong. His wife would kill me. Our new
sponsor,
our new sponsor, Papa. I'm hoping he gets us on community soon so that we have our own community app for people to text us. But I have an idea. I mean, you could do all those things, but it would be cool if you guys texted Jeb.
There you go.
Because Jeb will actually respond back. So maybe text Jeb as well about what your big dreams are. And, you know, with those big dreams, sometimes big dreams take money. And so how can you do more to make more money to get your big dreams? But text Jeb because he's so into this right now. Let me give you his phone number. Everybody got this. So you can text Jeb Blunt at 706-397-4599. That's 706-397-4599. That's Jeb Blunt's text, his cell phone number. You can text him there.
Blow him up.
Tell him that the women your mother warned you about and the mother that warned him about us said to text him and mention our show and tell him your big dream. That would be so funny.
That'd be cool though. He would probably like that. I mean, who doesn't like to hear about an amazing big dream? Like everybody's dream is different. I mean, apparently Felix has a dream of a Lamborghini and I'm like, it's such an ugly car. And it's like $180,000 or something. Like, okay. But hey, I mean, if that's your dream.
Don't knock his dream.
I said, you know what? You get you a Lamborghini, baby, because it's the same for him. For him, that's the same symbol. It's the symbol that he's reached in the level of success that he can buy a toy. Like my toy is like grand. His is like 180 grand, but he must have bigger financial dreams than me because...
Hey, no dream is too small or too big.
That's true.
It's your dream. Thank you, Warners, for listening to this episode of The Women Your Mother Warned You About. Thanks for being here. If you want to find out more about us, you can go to womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com where you'll find everything on us. We're still updating the website in case Jeb is asking where, where our updates are. So check that out. And hey, if you are looking for a way to get some more professional development, especially in sales, go check out Sales Gravy University. We have so many courses, both live and e-learning that are self-paced that you can do. As Rachel mentioned, I'm teaching Fanatical Prospecting Bootcamp. By the time you hear this episode, we'll already be in progress, but bootcamps start every month in Fanatical Prospecting and Virtual Selling. And there's just so much you can do there. Or my What to Say When You Don't Know What to Say workshop, which is constantly sold out. So go check all of that out at Sales Gravy University. And more about you, Rachel.
If you need a mortgage, then go to thesinginglender.com. And if you are looking for fitness inspiration or have questions, then you can find me at ultrafitlifestyle.com. And if you would be so kind as drop us a review along with that big dream at iTunes, it helps us spread more love. And thanks so much.
Hey, and one more thing I forgot about, we got to keep remembering. The Outbound conference is coming up in June in Atlanta, the week of June 15th, Outbound conference. You could just go Google Outbound conference. I had the link somewhere. We'll put it in the show notes. But Rachel and I will be at Outbound live streaming every day. I believe we're also going to, I think Jeb's building us a set. We're going to be on stage. We're going to be interviewing men and women and having panels of experts. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So go check that out. We're going to have a coupon code for that so that you could get a little, save a little bit of money. So I'm just waiting to get that code to share with you guys. So go check that out. And that's it for us, Warners. We got to go because we're living on a calendar. So, Rachel, see you later. Bye, Warners.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah. It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.